Today's message is entitled The Privilege of Giving to Those in Need. How many times have you ever gotten a request for money and there's something that inside of you, you kind of like cringe a little bit? Has that ever happened to you? It happens to me. It's kind of like, you know, you don't feel like giving, or you feel like I'm just barely paying my own bills, or there could be a lot of reasons. It can be from selfishness to you're maybe in need yourself that can hinder us. I hope today, by the time I'm done, you'll agree with me that it's a privilege to give to those in need. And that's how we should regard it. And God loves what kind of giver? A cheerful giver. We're going to look at that verse later on. Last week, in our study of Luke, we saw the account where they asked Jesus if it's lawful to pay taxes. And what did he say? Render to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what belongs to God. So what belongs to God? Everything. So the first fill-in on your outline is everything belongs to God because it came from him. Let's read on your outline the first scripture, 1 Chronicles 29:11-14. Let's read this together. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that everything comes from your hand. Abba, help us to remember that. Help us to hold what we own lightly as stewards and servants for you. I ask that you would anoint me. I ask that I could be a blessing to your people this morning. I thank you, Father, that we have an opportunity to bless brothers and sisters and those who don't know you overseas. So we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you weren't here earlier, we took up our regular tithes earlier, but at the end, we're going to take an offering for refugees from the Syrian war. And it's great because we have friends who are ministering through a church in direct contact with refugees. So when we do take the offering, 100% of the money you give is going to go right to people in need. In Luke 21, I'm going to read from the Good News Translation. This is a very famous account in the life of Jesus in the temple. Jesus looked around and saw rich people dropping their gifts in the temple treasury. He also saw a very poor widow dropping in two little copper coins. He said, I tell you that this poor widow put in more than all the others, for the others offered their gifts from what they had to spare their riches, but she, poor as she is, gave all she had to live on. Does that impress you? I think, wow, what would inspire somebody to put, you know, all that they had left into the offering? I don't think I would do that. I think I'd like, well, I need something to like buy some food for myself or whatever. So when I researched this a little bit, in the temple, they had 13 receptacles that were shaped like trumpets that people came to put their regular tithes and then offerings. There was a temple tax. There was actually offerings that were for the poor that was collected in the temple. And Jesus was watching. Did that scare anybody else? Jesus is watching how much we give. And he was noticing. And some rich people had a lot of money, and then this lady had two copper coins. It's literally almost like two pennies to us today. It's a very small amount of money. And she threw it in, and Jesus exclaimed, she gave more than everybody else. Now, how many of you, if you're like me, might think, wow, that was kind of stupid. Like, you know, why would you do that? But somehow she was inspired, And Jesus commended her. So the next point on your outline is what seems foolish to us was commended by Jesus. Poor she was. She gave it all. The next point is it's not how much you give as God sees how much it costs you. He sees like what you have and what you don't have. Today, so today, maybe you're in a hard way. Maybe for our refugee offering, you can only throw in $5 or $10. Well, that actually might be more than somebody who's throwing in a couple hundred. Amen? I mean, so $5 can be more than $500 in the eyes of God. So he sees what you do, and you should be encouraged by that. Praise God. One commentator said, Jesus watches not only how much we give, but what's in our heart. Are we giving gladly or how? Grudgingly, in a hard way? Reckless giving. There's no explanation for it. I wish Jesus had talked a little bit more about like this woman and why she did this. But I think there's a couple things we can learn. We have to assume that she was grateful to God for what she did have. She was grateful, and she had a great love for God that inspired her to like give it all in the offering. Perhaps she really trusted in her Heavenly Father as her Jehovah Jireh. That God, I believe you're going to take care of me. You're going to provide for me. Somehow she had this inspiration to give the last of what she had. God loves that. God loves faith. God loves when people step out and take risks. I know I'm impressed by people who trust the Lord. Years ago, there was a woman in our church for a while. Her husband didn't have status, and he was deported back to Central America. So she was stranded here for a number of months, her with two or three young children. And I went to visit her one time, and I remember her telling me, well, this is what I'm telling my children. Our Heavenly Father takes care of the sparrows, so he's certainly going to take care of us. That impresses me when you're without your husband and your family's been divided, and you can say that and teach that to your children. So I know God was impressed with that. Trusting him is something that God really values. Today we're taking an offering to help brothers and sisters in need who have literally lost everything. My next point, imagine what it would be like to be in their circumstances. What would it be like if we're here worshiping in Boston and all of a sudden somebody saw some armed men like run past the window and they're going around to the other exit? And we all say, okay, we got to run. And we hop up and we go out this door and people may or may not get to their cars and we run for our lives. Some of us may be able to get back to our houses. Some of us might not. And then it's not like we're just like hiding like in Watertown. These people have walked hundreds of miles to find a place of refuge. So it's like we're walking up to Canada. It's going to take days to get there. Or maybe we can hitch a ride with someone. We don't know. We don't know anything. And somehow these people made it to this city where they're relatively safe right now. And there's believers there who are ministering to them. And some of them were in that situation themselves. And even though they don't have much, they share what they do have with people who don't have anything, who are coming in every week, every month. There's more people coming in. That should move us. We were fortunate that Janine got to go over and actually meet lots of these people. And one of the things she said to me, she goes, Dave, they're just like us. You know what I mean? Sometimes we think, oh, you know, I don't know. We don't mean to be condescending, but sometimes we have a condescending attitude towards people in need. And what impressed Janine was like, they're just like us. They had jobs. They were smart. They were business people. They could do the things that we did. And all of a sudden, they are destitute and dependent on God and the charity of other people. Wow, that's shocking. So that means we should be happy to help them, amen? Sometimes I find when I imagine myself in that situation, it inspires me to give. Or sometimes I think, oh, gee, I know like right now I've had to pay a lot of bills. I've got expenses coming up. I'm thinking like, oh, I don't really have like much extra money. But then another part of me thinks like, well, Ingrid and I went out to dinner a week ago. So I seem to find the money to go out for dinner. Well, then I ought to be able to come up with at least that much money to send to people overseas, right? And we need to think that way. Think like, well, I'm taking care of myself. Jesus said, love your neighbor the way you love yourself. And so we have to make ourselves think, no, we are living in security and comfort. We are happy to help someone else. Jesus said, people who give in secret are rewarded by their heavenly Father. Acts 10, verse 4, an angel appears to Cornelius. Does anyone remember? Cornelius was a Gentile. He wasn't Jewish. Does anyone remember what the angel told Cornelius? God has seen your prayers and your gifts to the poor. Wow. Good for him, right? You know what I mean? Like, you know, an angel visits you and like, hey, God is really pleased with you. He sees you pray and you give to people in need. So God sees when we give to people in need. Those of you who give regularly, God sees that. On your sheet, Proverbs 19:17 says, one who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will what? Repay him for his good deed. It's a good investment to give to other people in need. God sees it. He'll reward us. Thank you, Lord. The reality is there's always people in the world that have nothing. I mean, sometimes just reading the paper, we all probably get letters asking for, you know, money to help people in need. And honestly, we can't handle that all the time. Do you know what I mean? There's a certain point where, like, yes, you're just going to throw some of those things in the garbage. What I'm thankful for today is because Emily is serving in this community, because Janine got to go and be there firsthand, we have a direct connection with refugees from Syria, from Iran and Iraq. This is great. So this is a divine opportunity. Let me put it that way. It's a divine opportunity for us to share. And plus, we know all the money is going to get to people. There's not like 15%. And it's not wrong for these bigger companies. It takes 15% of your money to do all that they do to have an organization and to pay people and to help people who are serving overseas. But this is something we can go right directly and all our money gets there. So it's a great opportunity. Do you agree with that? Okay. So number five in your outline, God rewards those who give to the poor. Now let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's actually on the back of your outline. This is, Paul is writing the Corinthians about an offering that they are taking for believers in Jerusalem who are in need there. So he says, friends, we want you to know what God's grace has accomplished in the churches in Macedonia. They've been severely tested by the troubles they went through, but their joy was so great that they were extremely generous in their giving, even though they are very poor. I can assure you that they gave as much as they could and even more than they could. Of their own free will, they begged us, pleaded for the privilege of having a part in helping God's people in Judea. It was more than we could have hoped for. I'm going to stop there. So there's a need in Judea. Okay, so Macedonia is part of what's now Greece. Does anyone remember some of the churches in Macedonia? Philippi, Thessaloniki, Berea, okay? These are the churches. There's that vision that Paul had, come help us. So these people are willing to help the people in Judea. There's no details about what was going on in Judea. Why are these Christians in need? One thing we do know is that there was a famine a few years earlier because in Acts 11, Agabus the prophet prophesied that there's a famine coming on the earth, and it's recorded in history. So the Bible is in agreement with ancient history. And the response of the Christians in Antioch were like they took an offering and sent it with Saul and Barnabas back to Jerusalem. So that's kind of what we're doing. Paul is always eager to help those in need. It's the spirit of Jesus. he says that God's grace was with them amid how they were severely tested by their troubles. Does anyone remember what their troubles were? What was it like in Philippi and Thessaloniki? They were persecuted. So Philippi is where Paul and Barnabas were flogged and thrown into a jail. And they were praising the Lord at midnight, and an earthquake came, and they were free. Then they went to Thessaloniki. While they were there, people got saved. The Jewish people got jealous, and they formed a mob and ran them out of town. Then they went to the town of Berea. And Berea says they were more noble-minded, and they examined the scriptures to see that what Paul was preaching was true. But guess what happened? The Jews in Thessalonica heard that he was in Berea. They came, and they formed mobs and ran him out of town again. It was crazy. If you read Acts and you read some of Paul's epistles, you realize he was kind of a glutton for punishment. I mean, he was beaten. He was run out of town. There was mobs. There's one place he was in Corinth. I think God spoke to him, said, "Don't be afraid. No one's going to harm you. I have many people in this city." And he stayed there for like a year or two. So that's what's going on. So amidst all their suffering, the churches in Macedonia are doing what? They're begging, "Can we help with the offering?" That's crazy. He said they begged. They were pleading. It's like if you guys said, "Dave, can we please give in this offering? Dave, can we take the offering every week?" Or I don't know. I mean, it's hard to like imagine. What are these people like? But we admire that, right? We're like, wow, they're great. That's the kind of attitude I want to have. So number six, despite their sufferings, the Macedonians were extremely generous. And the next point, they actually begged for the privilege of giving to believers in need. And as I've described, it's a privilege. They saw it as a privilege to help other people. And it's a privilege for us to help those who have literally lost everything. So can we try and be like the Macedonians? Can we see giving as a privilege? In verse 5, Paul says, "It's more than we could hope for. First, they gave themselves to the Lord. Then by God's will, they gave themselves to us as well." They were devoted to Jesus. And being devoted to Jesus, they were devoted to Paul and the apostolic leaders, and they were willing to serve their vision. Then Paul goes on, "You are so rich in all you have." Verse 8, "I'm not laying down any rules, but by showing how eager others are to help, I'm trying to find out how real your own love is." In 1 Corinthians 16:2, Paul writes, this is the previous, that their need was made known, and the Corinthians started collecting money already. He told them, "Set aside every Sunday according to what you've earned and saved, so that when I come, you don't even have to take an offering. You'll just give, you know, you'll just give what you've been saving every week." So in a sense, they had a plan to save. And so what he's saying now is, don't forget what you purposed to do months ago. Finish it. Are you with me? So that's what that's about. Then he points us to Jesus. He says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Rich as he was, he made himself poor for your sake in order to make you rich by means of his poverty." Can we say amen to that? Jesus was rich. He was in heaven. Everything's glorious in heaven. He knows how dark and evil our world is, and he chose to come into our world. And he didn't come in as a king. He didn't come in powerful and popular. He came in humbly as a baby, as a carpenter, as a servant. And eventually, he was obedient to the point of death on a cross. His humiliation, Jesus dying on a cross, naked, crucified. The goal of the cross was to humiliate people and to scare everybody else into obeying Rome. Jesus did that for us. And now we're rich. We're mostly rich because we have eternal life. We're saved. Our sins are forgiven. God's not counting our sins against us any longer because Jesus, the Son of God, hung on that cross. That's the only reason. So we're rich. And we're also well off financially here in America. So we have an opportunity to be like Jesus, who made himself poorer for our sakes. Praise God. So the next point, Jesus became poor in order to make us rich. He is our inspiration. In verse 12, he goes on, if you're eager to give, God will accept your gift on the basis of what you have to give, not on what you don't have. I'm not trying to relieve others by putting a burden on you. So let's just stop there. Can you give money that you don't have? No. So again, just whatever you're able to give, give it. He's not making a rule. He's not telling them how much they have to give. He's just pleading with them, come on, be generous. Does that make sense? He's not saying you have to give X amount of dollars. He's not saying you have to give a certain percentage of your savings or income. He's just saying, look, as God inspires you, give generously. Be inspired. Hallelujah. Finish what you've started. It's on the basis of what you have, not what you do not have. Now, let's pause for a minute. That seems to be almost the opposite of what Jesus was commending, right? So Jesus is commending the widow for throwing everything in the offering. Paul's saying, look, you can't give what you don't have. He tells them every week you can set aside some money. He's kind of planning. A lot of us do budgets. So in a budget, what we should be doing is planning to give to others, like he told the Corinthians. So like every paycheck, some of what you give, you tithe, but you also give some of your money to people in need. You give some of your money to missions, to reach the nations of the world. And that's just part of how we live our lives. Does that make sense? So I encourage us all to do that. So here's how I take this. I don't think it's a contradiction. I think there's times when God inspires people to give really big. And it seems reckless. It seems foolish almost. But God, if it's from the Lord, he'll take care of it. And then there's other times where we're just thoughtful and we're like, wow, every time I get paid, I want to make a sacrifice of putting some money aside to help these brothers and sisters who are helping refugees. They're refugees and they're helping refugees. Yeah, I want to do that. And I'm going to do that regularly. And so if you want to do that, we'll help you. We're figuring out the best way to get the money overseas. We can do it through Emily, and then we're going to also connect with the local church there. So we'll get that all figured out. So if you want to give monthly, that's something you can do. If you don't have a lot of money right now, you have all year. These people are going to be in need all this year and next year. There's plenty of time to just keep sharing what God has given to us. Does that all make sense? Okay, good. He goes on, and says this, since you have plenty at this time, it's only fair that you should help those who are in need. Then when you are in need and they have plenty, they will help you. In this way, both are treated equally. As the scripture says, the one who gathered much did not have too much. The one who gathered little did not have too little. He's quoting an obscure scripture in Exodus where they came out of Egypt, and what did they eat every day? Manna. Does anyone know what the word manna means in Hebrew? What is it? Because they woke up this morning and there's this white, flaky food on the ground. They're like, what is it? And so every day they had some, what is it for lunch? What is it for breakfast? What is it for dinner? And God told them, you had to collect it daily. You collected 2 omers, which I think is about 2 quarts. You know, so that's like half a gallon size-wise. And then it says, the one who gathered much, because if we all went out and gathered, let's face it, some people would gather more than others, right? Some people are more energetic. Some people are younger. Some people like to eat more. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like, but when it was all counted up, the people who hadn't gathered as much somehow had the 2-quart amount. So I don't know if that's like some kind of supernatural intervention. It's just kind of this amazing scripture. But Paul's using it to say everybody had what they needed. And he's saying now, even though we're not living by manna, if you are well off, God expects you to do what? Share with people in need. That's what he expects of us as followers of Jesus Christ. So we want to do that. We want to help there be more of an equality, more of helping people who need it. Does that sound good to you? Okay. Now, the next part I'm going to skip over because he's just saying we're going to make sure this is entrusted to people who will make sure all the money gets to Jerusalem. And so we're making sure all your money is going to get where it needs to go as well. Let's go on to chapter 9. I'm going to close out with this passage. It's interesting how Paul writes. I'm going to go starting in verse 2. I know that you are willing to help. I've boasted of you to the people in Macedonia. The believers in Achaia have been ready to help since last year. Your eagerness, remember they started this previously, actually stirred them up. So now Paul's using what they're doing to stir them back. Does that make sense? So I'm sending these believers that are boasting about you in this matter may not turn out to be empty words. Just as I said, you will be ready with your help. However, if the people from Macedonia should come with me and find out that you are not ready, how ashamed we would be, not to speak of your shame, for feeling so sure of you. Do you get what he's doing? He's kind of doing a little bit of guilt manipulation. He's kind of saying like, you will be really embarrassed if the believers from Macedonia come and like you guys don't contribute much. Paul isn't afraid to use natural human feelings to provoke what he's trying to get in people. So I love this. I think that's really funny. We'll be embarrassed, not to say how embarrassed you're going to be, brothers and sisters. Let's go to verse 6. Remember that the person who plants few seeds will have a small crop. The one who plants many seeds will have what? A large crop. You should each give then as you've decided, not with regret or out of a sense of duty, for God loves the one who gives gladly. And God is able to give you more than you need so that you will always have what you need for yourselves, more than enough for every good cause. As the scripture says, he gives generously to the needy. His kindness lasts forever. He's quoting the Psalms. And God, everybody say that with me. And God, who supplies seed for the sower and bread to eat, will also supply you with all the seed you need and will make it grow and produce a rich harvest from your generosity. He will always make you rich enough to be generous. How often? At all times. So that many will thank God for your gifts which they receive from us. For this service you perform not only meets the needs of God's people, but also produces an outpouring of gratitude to God. Amen. So to wrap up on your outline, number 10, you cannot give what you do not have. And so that next one is we plan to give. And our goal is that others' needs are met, that there's fairness. You reap what you sow. You cannot outgive the Lord. And that's what he's saying. If you sow a lot of seeds, you grow a lot of crops. So if you give generously today, God's going to give generously to you. And he'll make sure that you can continue to be a generous person. Praise God. I love how that works. I found that to be true. It's like we've been faithful all our years, tithing, giving money to missions, giving money to World Vision or people in need. Guess what? We have more money now than we've ever had. Somebody say amen. We've got more money now than we've ever had. You know, it's like when you have this, I got to hold on to everything. God just, it just, money makes wings and it flies away. But when we live God's way, we're faithful, he keeps making us more generous because he goes, okay, now keep giving. So I want to do that. Ingrid and I remind ourselves, okay, what we have belongs to God. This isn't all ours. This belongs to God. That's what we started with this morning. Now we're ending. Your giving will be rewarded and it produces thanksgiving towards God. There are going to be people overseas and they receive this offer and they're like, praise God. Now we can buy something we need for our kids. Now we can go back out and share with the Muslim families and feed them and give them diapers and give them food. And we're going to do it in the name of Jesus. So Jesus is glorified. That's what we're after. Amen? Okay, so Ed, if we can get the worship team up, here's what we're going to do. We are going to break bread together. We're going to feed on the Lord Jesus. And then after we sit back down, you're going to be able to write out a check or however much money you want to give. We're going to pass the basket again. And we're going to give all this money to the glory of God, to people in need, and they're going to be very thankful for your generosity. Keep it going. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body broken for you." Praise God. Brothers and sisters, God wants you to know that Jesus did this for you. In our Alpha class, I like to say, if you were the only person on earth, Jesus would have died for you. He was rich. He became poor. He was broken for us. Jesus also took a cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Because of your faith in Jesus, you are in a covenant relationship with the living God. That means you belong to him. It also means he belongs to you. Isn't that wonderful? We're joined to the God who made us through the sacrifice of his son. It's a blessing. So Jesus, we thank you for your blood poured out for us for the forgiveness of sins. As we eat and drink and partake of you, strengthen us. Heal us, Lord, where there's sickness, where there's wounded hearts, where there's heavy spirits. Minister to us. Heal us. Make us whole. Show us how much to give, Lord. How to bless other people today in this offering. We do it gladly. We partake gladly. We're going to give gladly. Thank you, Jesus. So please, if you're a guest here, if you have faith in Jesus as your Savior, you are welcome to eat at this table. Please join with us. So come forward, get some juice. Get a piece of bread, go back to your seat, eat it, drink it, be glad. And, then I'll direct us to, fill out a check or whatever, and we'll pass the basket. So please come, eat, and be strengthened.